We're good to go. We got a couple trainees back there with Gary. He's training them well, so that's good. Good job, Gary. So, experiencing the plan of God. And this is kind of a continuation. So, the Sunday, New Year's Eve, I guess it would be December 31st, we talked about dream, right? And then last week we talked about who is God, person of God. So in dream, we said, let's dream. And that was 2 weeks ago, like I said, and we talked about how a strong vision of the future, a good vision, one that we can embrace, provides us with clarity, provides us with thoughtfulness and intentionality in the present, in today, in where we're living, right? We talked about how God wants us to dream as well. And dream is decide to let God decide. I should make you guys say this with me. Let's say this because you guys have heard this for 2 weeks. So let's say it together. D, decide to let God decide. R, reality is the key to God's destiny or God's glory. E is exchange my focus from where I am to where I am going. You guys are on it today. This is awesome. You had your coffee. A, accept God's process. And M is make strong moves. You know, and we talked a bit about, when we talked about this all, accepting God's process, for instance. We don't understand God's process. We don't need to, do we? God knows His process. God knows what's going on. We just need to trust Him. M, making strong moves. We talked about what's the opposite of making a strong move? Making a weak move. Or no move, exactly. That's the weakest of them all. Actually, sometimes a weak move might be better, or no move is better than a weak move. So then last week, we talked about the person of God. And we talked about who God is. So we talked about how God is omniscient. We talked about how God is purposeful. God is sovereign. God is omnipotent. God is good. And how God is personal. The scripture that God shows us that God is worthy of our trust. That's what it shows us. God is worthy of our worship. God is worthy of our surrender. Worthy of our love and worthy of our offering. So what is the most intelligent thing we can do? What did we learn last week? I think one of the points I said was we can trust Him and surrender to Him. And we can seek Him and the plan He has for our life. We can give it all to Him and stop trying to run it ourselves and stop trying to think we need to control it. Because I don't know about you guys, but sometimes I can be a bit of a control freak. Anybody else like that? Yeah. So this week, we're going to talk about the plan and purpose of God. So Jeremiah, we're back to Jeremiah 29, 10 to 14 says, this is what the Lord says, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promises to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back to the place where, from which I carried you into exile. So the plan of God. Work on our hand signals. There you go. The plan of God. See, God's plan is to involve who? Us, His people, exactly, exactly, His people. And God's plan are what? They're a fulfillment of His promises, His word. And God's plans are to prosper us and not to harm us. God's plans are to give us a hope and a future. And God's plans are to reveal himself to us, who he is, his goodness. All the things that we read about who God is, he wants to show us who he is through his plan. Verse 11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you." Exactly. Plans to give you a hope and a future. So what does that tell me? God's plans aren't to beat me down. I have a hope and a future that is found in God. Right? That's what we read there. So how can we say, when things are going bad, well, guess God just wants me here in this pit, in this hole. He doesn't want us in the pit and hole. You know what? We don't understand his plan. We don't understand the end. It may be a stop on the road or a bump, but it's not the end. God wants us to have victory, doesn't he? Because is God, this is not really funny, but is God a winner or a loser? God's a winner. God's defeated death. Hasn't he? Has he? Jesus isn't in the tomb. Jesus is alive and well. God has a hope. Jesus went through suffering. That wasn't the end. That was our beginning, wasn't it? God wants to reveal himself to us. God wants to involve us. See, God's plan involves us, his people. For I know the plans I have for you. So this is a promise that we're reading to who? The people who are in captivity. They're in captivity. So when we personalize the word of God, then we need to ensure we do it in the proper context. And the word was for God's people, not just one of them, but for the entire community, the entire family of God. In particular, the Jews. But with the new covenant, we are God's people, Gentiles alike. And I believe that God has this word for us. So in this year, I really believe they're wanting to see what God wants to do for us as Rosetown Community Church, as well as through us as Rosetown Community Church. Do you believe that? God has a plan for us as a church out in our community, out in this world, and here in these walls. The cool thing is, when you think about that and when you believe that, that means he wants to do something with us individually as well. Because when God has a plan and God's moving something forward, we can't sit here and just think that life is going to be the same for me and put our feet up and say, well, this is going to be cool. I'm going to sit back and watch this show, see how God's going to do this. We need to be active part. We need to be participants in this show. This is a game. In football, you do not have people sitting on the bench being participants in the game. They're just onlookers. They're spectators. We need to get in the game. We need to allow God to work through us so that we can be active participants in the game, in life, in his plan. God has a plan for his people. And you know what? God's plans are a fulfillment of his promises. So when he says in verse 10, he is saying, for what he says in verse 10, he is saying the plans he has for them, and that plan is a fulfillment of his promises, right? So the plan he has for us is always a fulfillment of the promises he makes to us. So what are the promises of God? And what has he made, promises have he made to us? Well, the Bible is a good start. 66 books, 39 in the Old Testament, 27 in the New. There's a lot of promises there, right? Those promises are for us. It's not just a nice story The Bible was, oh, that's a nice story. Or some goof on Facebook that I was watching that talking about how they're just a story. It's just a story and it's parables and blah, blah, blah. No, this is the promises of God for us. We need to believe and stand on those promises. We need to discover God's plan for us through these promises. God speaks, He is faithful to us, and He wants to fulfill these promises to us and through us. In fact, one of His promises has to do with His promises. 2 Peter 1, 3 and 4 says, His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. He's called us by His own glory and goodness. I want to repeat that a third time. He's called us by His own glory and His goodness. Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them, you may participate in the divine nature. Let's say that once together. Participate in His divine nature. Now we'll do it all together. Participate in His divine nature. Having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. So that means that we've separated ourselves from the world. And we're participating with Jesus and God in the plans that He has. The plans and the purposes for our lives. Because the evil of the world no longer drives us. That's no longer our purpose. Our purpose is with God. Right? So you want to find out what the plan of God is for you? It's always the fulfillment of His promises that He made to you. How are you going to find the promises? Read the book. Read the Bible. They're in there. Pray on those promises. Claim those promises. Why? Because God's plan is a fulfillment of His promises. God's plan is to prosper us, not to harm us. God's plan is to prosper us. Whose ears just perked up a little bit when I said prosper us? See, now, but that, here's the thing. Here's what I want. This is a big topic, and we're not going to get into it all today. But the statement isn't a promise necessarily to make us rich. The word here in Hebrew is actually the word shalom. So when we look at the word shalom, what does it mean? It means peace. It means well-being. It means contentment. It means prosperity in the sense of having the awareness you have everything that God wants to give you. Now, does that mean God doesn't want to give you $1 million or $2 million or $5 million? No, but it also might mean that God wants to give you $5. But we trust His promises. We trust His plan. And we trust that He is going to give us all that we need. It means prosperity in the sense of having the awareness you have everything God wants to give you. That is prosperity that God is promising. And like I said, that's not saying He's not telling you you're going to have $5 million. But you could have five. Philippians 4, 12 and 13 says, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. So what is Paul telling us here? He's telling us he's learned the secret. He doesn't tell you, but he is telling you that he's experiencing shalom in his life. He is living God's plan. He's living the purpose that God has for him. He has everything he needs because he has everything that God wants him to have. When we trust in the Lord, when we seek Him, when we surrender, we have shalom. When we give it up and we are no longer driven by our own desires and needs, we will have shalom when we focus on God, when we focus on having what God wants. Prosperity. The deep awareness of being content because we have everything that God wants to give us. And it is all that we need. See, God's plans are to give us a hope and a future. Do you believe that God's plans are to give you a hope and a future? That's not convincing, but do you believe God wants you to have a hope and a future? Do you believe that God's plans are good? So then we need to trust Him and trust His plans. Philippians 3, 20 and 21 says, "But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await our Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables Him to bring everything under His control." That means He is Lord of everything. He will transform our lowly bodies so they will be like His glorious body. So ultimately, what are we reading there? Our future is heaven. Our future is with Him as followers of Christ, isn't it? That's the goal. That's the future. But in John 10:10, we read the hope for the future. It says, "The thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. But I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." It doesn't say, you know, "The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and I've come so everything is just kind of going to be okay. But I have come that they may have life and have it to the full," to the fullest. That's the best. God's plan are to reveal Himself to us. That whole scripture, He is revealing Himself to us. And the goal for this year is that you really get to know Him. That you really get to focus on who He is and what He wants for you. And the fulfillment of life that He has for you because you know Him. That's what we want. We want a full life. Don't we? So earlier in Jeremiah 9, 23 and 24, it says, "This is what the Lord says. Let not the wise boast of their wisdom, or the strong boast of their strength, or the rich boast of their riches." That's what a lot of people like to boast about, don't we? "But let the ones who boast about this, that they have the understanding to know me, that I am the Lord who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth. For I delight in these things, declares the Lord." So God is saying what? If you're going to boast about stuff, let's boast about something that's actually worth boasting about. Why do we boast? Why do people boast? Because you have something that everybody else wants, right? Usually. You boast because you have something that somebody else doesn't have. So if you're going to boast about something, why don't you do it about the very best thing that you could have? That you understand and know God. That you have a relationship with Him. That He knows you and you know Him. And God's plan for us this year and every day is really knowing Him in a deeper way. It's what we really need to pursue, is really knowing Him. See, the process of that all is when we experience God's plan and when we do two things. First, we experience God's plan when we call on Him, when we pray to Him, when we spend time with Him. So Colossians 1, 9 to 12 says, "For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all the wisdom and understanding that His Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you might have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Lord who has qualified you." He qualifies us to share in the inheritance of His holy people in the kingdom of light. So, what do we pray for? We pray to be filled with the knowledge of God's will. We pray to live a worthy life of the Lord. We pray to please the Lord and bear fruit in every good work that we do. We pray to grow in the knowledge of God. We pray to be strengthened in His power. We pray to have great endurance and patience. And we pray to have joy and give strength in all things. That's not saying to pray and give thanks when things are good. It's not saying we pray when great Aunt Hilda passes away and we get gifted $5 million. We pray and give thanks. I don't know if anybody has a great Aunt Hilda. Hopefully not. We pray to have joy and give thanks in all things. Lyle? No? Good. What's good? I'm going to leave it there. But we pray to have joy and give thanks in all things when times are good and when times don't feel so good. So secondly, we experience God's plan when we seek Him with all of our hearts. When we're not seeking Him for selfish ambitions, we're seeking with all of our hearts that because we want what He wants. That's when we experience God's plan. Psalms 34, 4-11 says, I sought the Lord and He answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to Him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear Him, and He delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who take refuge in Him. Fear the Lord, you His holy people, for those who fear Him lack nothing. For those who fear Him lack, what do you fear? Nothing. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. They lack nothing. Come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Then Isaiah 55, 6 and 8 says, seek the Lord while He may be found. Call on Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord, and He will have mercy on them, and to our God, for He will freely pardon. That means it's not a begrudging pardon. When you call on the Lord, it is a pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither my ways your ways, declares the Lord. And James restates that in James 4. And he's talking about what Jeremiah was talking about today and last week. It says, James 4, 1-10. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your own desires that battle within you? You desire but do not have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask out of what? The wrong motives. That you may spend what you get on your own pleasures. You're adulterous people. Don't you know that friendship and the world means enmity against God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend to the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you think Scripture says without reason that He jealously longs for His Spirit, He has caused to dwell in us, but He gives us more grace. That is why Scripture says God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and He will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double mind. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and He will lift you up. So what is He saying? What is it saying there? It says, seek Him through the prayers, through asking Him. It says, seek Him with pure motives. Seek Him with humility. Seek Him by submitting. Submitting to His ways, not your ways, not your desires, His ways, His desires. Seek Him by resisting the devil. Seek Him by coming near to Him, by drawing near to Him. Seek Him through brokenness and repentance when you do something. Seek Him. Seek Him expecting that God is going to lift you up, that you don't have to be stuck wherever you are. Seek Him. Humble yourselves and He will lift you up. So God says, what I have for you is good. What I have for you is holy. What I have for you is shalom, is prosperity. But you need to seek me with all your heart with right motives. It might be painful because we have to cut off some of that stuff. You have to cut off the problem areas in your life, maybe. You have to cut off some of those people. It might be painful. Because you have to get rid of that stuff so it doesn't stop you from really engaging Him. I like football. You know that. That's good. Saskatchewan Rough Riders, and this is our year. But they train hard. These football players, they train hard, don't they? It's hard work. You play through pain. I remember playing with busted hands and messed up knees and shoulders and everything. You train hard for your chance to win the prize. I wasn't training hard to win the Grey Cup. I was just training hard to win a provincial or league championship and then a provincial championship. But those guys train hard to win the big prize, the Grey Cup, don't they? See, there's a prize that God is preparing and presenting to His people in Babylon. It is in Scripture, the plan of God, the future He has for us, a relationship with God that leads to shalom. But there were things that they needed to do. So what are we willing to do to experience it? The plan of God, that is, not the Grey Cup. What are we willing to go through to get there? And by go through, I mean, what are we willing to cut out of our lives? Because there's things in our lives that sometimes hold us back from that shalom, isn't there? Maybe there's some of that doubt, that fear, that unbelief, that, well, is He really saying that type of attitude? Does He really want me to be whole? Does He really want me to be fully healthy? Why don't I get healed? I don't know. But we need to press through the plan. We need to press through the purpose and get to know Him and hear what He has to say. Because we don't always understand His plan and His purposes, but we know that it's a good plan in the end and that good will come out of it because He's a good God. So what price would you be willing to pay? Are you willing to seek God with all your heart and maybe cut off some of that problem in your life, some of that problem area? Maybe it's as simple as cutting out Facebook or your TV or your cable or whatever to spend time with Him, to get to know His process and His plan. Are we willing to seek God with all of our heart? Because that's what it's going to take, is seeking God with everything you have, your entire being. Not just sometimes, all the time, seeking God, trying to hear from Him, listen to His voice, hear His voice. He knows the plans He has for us, doesn't He? Are they a good plan or a bad plan? They're a good plan. It's a plan for shalom, for prosperity, for a future and a hope. He has a good plan for us. Are we willing to seek Him and get to know Him and really prosper in 2018? Or are we okay with just sitting back and having the same old, same old? I never thought I'd get to use that saying, but I got to there. Are we fine with just the way things have always been, or are we wanting more? Because we need to step into that faith and believe and walk and just know that He has more for us. Things can be awesome. Things can be really going well. We could be like, I don't know, Dave. Like, things are really good right now in my life. I feel like I'm in a good place. I'm healthy. I got money rolling in. I feel God's blessings. Our family's doing well. Guess what? God still has more. It never ends with God. He always has more. He's a good God who has more. I want you guys to experience the more. I don't want us to just get stuck in what we have. I want us to experience the more. Let's pray. If you want the more, get to know Him. Spend time with Him. Because that's where you're going to get the more. Father God, we thank You that You love us. God, we thank You that You have a good plan for us. Father, we thank You and we trust You for that plan. If you want the more of God, I ask that you put your hand up. God, you see those hands that are up, Father. God, we want the more. We want what You have for us, God. We want it all. God, if there's anything to boast about, we want it to be of You. And Father, we thank You that You love us and that You guide us and You direct us. And God, I pray that You would pull us into You more. Father, bring us the more that You have for us, God. Father, we are not satisfied with what we have, God, but we want what You have. We want it all that You have for us. And Father, we pray that You would just breathe life into us. God, that You would breathe joy into us, Father, that You would give us it all. Father God, that there would be no stopping what we have and what we want for You, Father. Because God, it's not for our own ambition and our own glory, God. It is for You. Father, we want to press into You. God, we want the more that You have for us. God, I pray that You would just give joy and peace to these people, Father. God, breathe prosperity into their lives, God, and that they would have a full understanding of You. God, we thank You. We pray for direction in our lives. We pray that You reveal the plan for us each. Each and every one of us, God, wants to know Your plan. And God, we thank You. God, we thank You. In Your precious and holy name, Father, amen.